morning. Thank you, Lock Haven Baptist Church, for joining me today in the pastor's study. We're so grateful that you're here with me. We're looking forward to a good time in the Word of God tonight. We will be in Psalms chapter 143. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will see what the choir is going to sing for us tonight. Father, thank you so much for allowing us another opportunity to meet together here in the pastor's study. We pray, God, that you would take the Word of God that we're going to study tonight. You would encourage us, strengthen us, bind our hearts together. Help us, Lord, to love you and to love where you have placed us and be content with where we are in our life. Lord, allowing us the opportunity just to be your children is such a blessing. Thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. Bless us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is sufficient for me, and I hope it is for you too as well. And I'm thankful that we have the grace of God in our lives. Let's go and look at our announcements. I want to say first, I had a wonderful time in the house of God Sunday morning, meeting back for the first time. I believe it's been over 6 weeks since we met as a church family together in the auditorium. And Sunday morning, we had a wonderful time of singing together, praying together, and worshiping. I enjoyed myself, and I am looking forward to Sunday morning, 11 o'clock again, in person. It will be on live as well on Facebook and YouTube. So if you're still not comfortable coming yet, you'll still be able to get it live on Facebook, church Facebook page, or live that Sunday, 11 o'clock. And if you're feeling sick, go ahead and stay home. But if you're well and you're looking to be with us, we'll be together Sunday at 11 o'clock. The kids will have their Bible study time on Sundays at 4 o'clock from here on out with Sister Dyer and Jared. Sundays at 4 o'clock with Sister Dyer and Jared. And then Saturday prayer time with Sister Kim at 3 o'clock. In the afternoon on her church Facebook page. 11 o'clock this Friday, don't forget, you're able to come by and pick up any bread that you might want to get for your family and friends. And we're looking forward to being a blessing to our neighbors and our church family with the bread pickup. That's this Friday, at 11 o'clock. You can come by the church. Also, Saturdays, it's open. And then Sunday morning, there will be there at the 11 o'clock service right after. You can go out and get you some if there's any left over. I believe that's all the announcements I have right now. So let's see if I cannot move this forward just a little bit. And let's get a congregational song going here. Just a moment. It should be close enough. Let's go into our prayer request time. If you have a prayer request that you'd like the church to be praying for, just go ahead and type it there in your comment section. And if I see it as I'm reading through the church's prayer list, I will try to announce it to bring mention to it. But let's remember to pray for our church during this time as we begin to try to head back into the normal services. Someone asked, Pastor, why are we having it just on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock live? And a lot of reasons that there's so much uncertainty of this virus. I believe it's safe that we can meet, and we are starting that. I believe it's the Lord's timing for us. We'll continue to do social distancing and cleaning and Lysoling and those things. But it gives us a seven-day period in case there is a sickness or a flare-up in the church that we have some way of trying to control that. And it also allows any place that we cannot clean, the virus will die out in those 7 days. But as the Lord leads, we'll continue to add back to our church services. I believe this is a good start for us there. So remember to be praying for our church, our deacons, the church family, the Lock Haven Scripture Press. We cannot forget about praying for that. I know we're not around here. We're not involved in it, but we are at a critical point in that ministry that the Lord has gave us some good leads on the on some presses that Brother Chase and Brother Bentley will be going to look at and take a peek at to get some information on so that we can do that. Sister Joyce said, residents of the Terrace Nursing Home, many have positive COVID cases. Be in prayer for those there. And also our law enforcement, our first responders, our medical personnel, all of our military people. The unspoken in our church is a lot there. So we need to be in prayer for those unspoken prayer requests that we can make sure that we call out to the Lord, even though we don't know the prayer request personally. God does, and we need to ask God to do that. Our missionaries and their families, they're sending churches. So we need to be in prayer for all of them. The gospel work still needs to go forward, and the missionary is a great arm of our outreach here at the church. So let's be in prayer for them. Those that are traveling and out of state, especially those that have lost loved ones, continue to pray for the Bedell family, pray for the Phillips family, and of course, any others that you might know about. Brother Bill's sister's boyfriend, Danny, died last night. So be in prayer for Brother Bill's sister there. You may saw that in the comment section. Then those that have cancer and the other medical sicknesses, let's think about those and let's pray right now together as a church. I know we're not in close proximity, but the Lord is with us and He's meeting with us right now. And so while this instrumental plays on the piano, let's go ahead and be typing in those prayer requests and let's pray together as a church family. And then I'll close us in prayer at the end of this piano special. Did see that Sister Sue asked us to continue to pray for Sophia and Lim in the loss of their father. Certainly we want to remember their little hearts as they try to reconcile in their little minds the loss of their father. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll head to Psalms chapter 143. Father, our prayer request is long and it's lengthy, many different categories. But you're an all-knowing God. And Lord, you know our hearts. You saw the ones that was typed down up on the comment sections that came up on our screen. And Lord, we do ask that you would use your wonderful healing hand and comfort in the hearts and lives of those that need healing, those that just need to know that they're loved and cared for. All the unspoken requests, Lord, that we have on our list, Lord, it's many. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, to meet those needs as if they were known to all of us. because they are known to you. And God, we ask you to work on those. We do ask you, God, to be with our missionaries and their families. Lord, they're serving you in many countries, Lord, without good health systems and away from family, and the gospel work is still at hand before them. And I pray that you'd protect them, keep them safe, and watch over them. Thank you, Lord, for our church family and their faithfulness and giving during this time. Lord, that we as a church could continue to go forth with the gospel and support our missionary families around the world. We do ask you, Lord, as we meet and have met already this past Sunday, but we'll continue to meet. Lord, watch over us, keep us safe as we drive back and forth to the house of God. Help us, Lord, to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, asking you for wisdom and direction. Give us, Lord, something that will help us tonight to be more Christ-like as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go to Psalms, chapter number 143. We're going to read the whole chapter. There's 12 verses here tonight, and we're going to try to see if we can get a handle on how to handle adversity and feeling overwhelmed during this time which we're in. We're coming through the backside of this. We're starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel, but there's still some recovery that has to be done, some health recovery for our nation, for as everybody that is carrying this virus, that they would get through it, gain the antibodies that they need, and that nobody else would get it. Of course, we know that comes with time and cleanliness and carefulness and making sure we're doing our part with that. But there's some more things that we're going to have to recover. And I know that the economy has been hit hard. I've seen it here in our home church and our church family, around the community here that we live in. And this is an adverse time for many folks, and it's not yet over. It's not going to get easy just because we opened up a little bit with a soft opening here in Orange and Osceola County here this past week, and we're going to continue. It's going to take some time. And people are going to feel overwhelmed. There's going to come a time whenever your mortgage company is not going to give you another 30 days. They're going to want their money, your car notes, your electric bill. They may give you a little pass for a month or two, but they're going to want it. And in the near future, it's going to get a little bit more difficult financially and physically and mentally on folks than many of us are able to understand. I thank God for all those that were able to continue working through this and that they did not have to face these problems. But these are real situations. And we that were able to work and to go forth, we need to be compassionate and kind and concerned and careful for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and a help to those that we can help. How can we say we have the love of God and the compassion of our bowels is shut up towards people that would be in a difficult situation? I saw something. I know people mean it as something funny, but I saw something just the other day on Facebook that saddened my heart. Because of all the people that's staying home and everybody that's working from home or whatever the case may be, they said the little picture that they put up on Facebook, it said the day after the virus is open, and there was a long, long, long line to divorce lawyers. That's a reality. It's not a joke. This is the time when the adversary, the devil, the home, the marriage home is an institution of God. And the devil is the enemy of God. and he's going to fight. He's going to cause heartache and pain and suffering. So tonight as we read through here, I want to be ahead of this. I want us to have the information we need from the Word of God that will help us during this next coming months ahead of us. Because I believe that it's going to get... there is light at the end of the tunnel. I'm not a gloom and doom person. God is on His throne. He's the Alpha and the Omega. But as the old saying goes, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I do think that's the way it's going to be. It's going to be when the bills come in, when humanity's heart is closed and it's back to materialistic and business as usual, and when they start calling in the bills and people wanting their rent and wanting their mortgages and wanting their bills, the bills to be paid, it's going to cause a whole lot of stress and you're going to start feeling overwhelmed. Some of you may be already there. So tonight as we read Psalms 143, I hope that we can find help before it arrives, and if it's already arrived, that you would be encouraged in the Word of God to get through this difficult time. Psalms 143. This is the Psalm of David. I'm not sure the specific situation. It's a time whenever either Saul or Absalom was chasing David. You read commentaries and one says this, one says that. But I do know that it is a time when the enemies of David were at hand and pursuing him. And our adversary, our enemy, the enemy of God, the enemy of godliness and enemy of Christian fellowship and the gospel, he's at hand. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And David penned these words on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in Psalms 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul and hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. My spirit is good. Lead me unto the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. In verse number 3, David says, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul, and hath smitten me my life down to the ground, and hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. As he begins to describe the situation, the problem that has arrived in his life. David talked about his soul, the persecution of his soul, and having been his life smitten down to the ground, and how that his day has made into darkness, almost like unto death. He had been basically at this point, either if it was Saul or if it was Absalom, at this point it was almost as if he had been rolled up really hard and just left out into the cold to dry. He was alone. He was on the run. It was as if, as he said in the other psalm, he says, if no man cared for my soul. As he described what was going on into his life, and at the moment he found himself there in verse number 3, you can sense the overwhelming trouble that he was facing. You know, many times when people go through difficulties in life, a lot of folks are very private. You know, they come to church, they have a smile on, you see them at work, and everything's fine, and they put on a facade, and it's as if everything is really okay, but on the inside, they're overwhelmed. And David at this point was talking about down deep inside how he was feeling overwhelmed. In verse number 4, he says, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Verse 7, hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. So from the problem that he was facing, from the enemy that had encompassed him and chased him and got him to a point where he felt like he was had no hope at all in mankind, he was looking to God, looking for him for help. And he describes it in verse 4 and 7 in a very graphic, descriptive way. My spirit is overwhelmed. My heart within me is desolate. My spirit, verse 7, he says, my spirit fainteth. I mean, the terms here of being overwhelmed, you might say he was perplexed by the problems. Sometimes we cannot even understand how we got to the situation that we're in. We're perplexed at the entire situation. Sometimes we're afflicted by those that we think love us and care for us, or even we thought were our friends or our comrades, and it drives us into a state of loneliness and almost as if we're in a boat that is about to overturn, and we're out in the middle of the ocean, and when that boat turns over, we don't even have a life jacket on. And that's what he's saying here in Psalms 143 and verse 7 about how his spirit was overwhelmed, and how his heart was feeling desolate, and how his spirit was, it was like the life was leaving out of him in this time that he found himself in. It was a difficult problem to be chased if it was absent by your son or by Saul, who at one point, Saul had told David, said, here's my armor. Try it on and go out and fight Goliath. And David said, I can't do that. At a time when Saul had an evil spirit come over him that they called for David, and David would play his harp to ease and soothe the soul of Saul. Or Absalom, his son. No doubt he made many mistakes raising his boys, as many of us fathers have done. But he loved Absalom. When Absalom was dead, hanging there in that tree, when his hair got caught in the branches, and Joab pierced him through in the heart, and he died there hanging. And Absalom got word. David got word of Absalom's plight. David cried out, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son! Would to God I would have died for you." So whoever is chasing, whoever the enemy is at this point, it does not matter, because on either hand, David had chance to kill Saul, had cut his garment. And when he cut his garment, the heart of David was smote with repentance, because he had touched God's anointing. So either way, the problem is great. And you know, sometimes we that are not going through your problem, or we are not walking in your shoes, sometimes it's easy for us to discount these. I mean, we could look at David and say, you know, well, David, listen, you've already been anointed king. All you've got to do is bide your time, and you're going to be king, and Saul's going to be removed. Or we could say with David about Absalom, you know, Absalom, you know, you have other sons. It's going to be okay. We could kind of look, you know, kind of wash it away. It's not ours. It's not our problem. But it was a problem. And, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, the problems of others, we discount. And we can't do that, because David found himself in a great predicament here, in such a way that he was feeling overwhelmed and desolate, and as a complete and total failure. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, whenever we find ourselves in this situation, you can bet your bottom dollar, you can count on, you take it to the bank, oh, Lucifer is going to come around with the demons of hell, and he's going to ride you and kick you down. And unfortunately, there's going to be those that call themselves your friends that will say things without thinking. They're not going to engage their mind before they speak, and they're going to say things that are sometimes hurtful. Job's wife is an example. I believe Job was a great husband and man of God. But even his wife, during those darkest moments of being overwhelmed, feeling desolate, feeling like his spirit had fallen. At one point, Job said this, "It would have been better to me if I'd never, ever been born." That's how Job got to this point, feeling overwhelmed. So your problems, though I might not understand them, though others may discount them, they are real. They are overwhelming, and they cause you to feel desolate, and they cause the spirit within you to, and you feel perplexed. You feel lonely. Like, how in the world am I going to get this through? I can't imagine the hours of agony that's going to be facing those coming soon when the bills are due. Well, preacher, we've already gave them a $1,200 stimulus check. Dear friend, that $1,200 was gone before they ever got it. We had already been weeks into this craziness before they ever got it. They'd been furloughed well over. We still have folks in Florida that doesn't have one dime of unemployment yet. Then there's those that they disqualify. Up till this thing happened, they were working 45, 50 hours a week. Now somebody's done cut them down to 20 hours a week. Well, they don't qualify for unemployment because they're still employed. But they were used to living on 40, 45 hours a week. Lord, their predicament, this is going to get much harder. Maybe not on the health side, but on the physical and mental and emotional side, they're going to feel lonely and overturned, and they're in a plight, they're in a fix, they're in a predicament that they had no doings about it. They didn't choose this. It was laid at their feet. So you and I, who have been blessed, we need to be careful in the next coming months that we don't get on our high horse and say, well, the Lord blessed me and he kept me at work and I must be on the good side of God. You know what? When we say that, we're like the disciples who looked at the blind man and said, Lord, who sinned? The man or his parents? Well, why would they say that? But they knew the scripture where the Bible says the iniquities of the father shall be visited upon the children for third and fourth generations. They knew that scripture. And the Lord Jesus said it was not sin. People that are going through these difficult times, it's not by their own doings. We can't look at them and say, well, they should have chose a different profession. Dear friend, I don't know what you would think if everybody in the world was, I don't know, who's working right now? Okay, lawnmower people, the lawn systems, they're essential. Wouldn't that be nice if everybody's running around here on John Deere's and Dixie choppers and holding on to weed eaters? Well, that wouldn't be nothing. I'm not downplaying it. I'm not above riding a lawnmower and weed eating and weed whacking. I think if it's a needful occupation. Not everybody's going to be doctors. Not everybody's going to be airplane pilots. Not everybody's going to be lawyers, praise God. There's got to be some people that do just normal everyday labor. They didn't choose this. Now they're going to feel overwhelmed. They're going to feel just like it says in verse 4 and verse 7 of Psalms chapter 143. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. So what did David do? He had a problem. He was being chased. He was being hounded by either Saul, when this was God's will for David to be king, or he was being hounded and chased by Absalom, whichever way you want to go. And so he had a great problem. He's on the run. He's as if he says, I'm being persecuted down to my soul. And it's as if my day is darkness, as almost as death. He has the problem has now created this here overwhelming, desolate feeling of failure with inside of him. So what did he do? Well, verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness. Look at verse 2. And he says, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. In other words, David wanted the audience of mercy. That's what he said. Enter not into judgment with thy servant. He wanted an audience with mercy, not judgment. God, hey, listen, the Bible says the judge of all the earth shall do right. But I'm going to be honest with you, dear friend, there's times that we don't need judgment. Though we be wrong, though we have failed, though we have sinned, there's times, dear friend, that you and I need mercy. We need to live in the mercy of God. David said, verse 9, look what he said in verse 9, deliver me, O Lord. He had come to the end of himself. He had ran. David was a man of war. Do you remember he had killed Goliath for Saul? You remember when Saul said, David said, I want your daughter to wife. And Saul said, okay, I want 200 foreskins from the enemy. And David went out and took them. I mean, he fought. David was a man of war. David had blood on his hands and so much of man of war that when he wanted to build the temple of God, that God said to David, David, you cannot. David was a warrior. But now in this situation, dear friend, he says, deliver me, O Lord. The problem had arose. He's being hounded and chased. It's caused him to feel overwhelmed. Instead of turning to himself and turning to the inward warrior that he knew he was, he said, Lord, I need thy righteousness, back in verse 1. And he said, in thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. Look at verse 5. He said, I remember the days of old, and I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. What's David saying? First, he's saying, I remember. Listen, when we're going through the darkest of the valleys, dear friend, you know why we need to walk with God on the mountaintop? Because the valleys are coming. Listen, we're not billy goats that we live on mountaintops all the time. We are humans living in a sinful body, in a sinful world, and sometimes just the natural consequences of sin, though it be not my sin, it leads us to down into some dark valleys. And David said, verse 5, I remember the days of old. So you know what he did? David started thinking about how good God had been in the past. You know what David said? I've been young, now I'm old, I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. He said, I remember. I remember the days of old, dear friend. That's why we have times of testament and testimony. And that's why I ask you sometimes, has anybody got a word of testimony? We need not forget how good God has been to us, because our dark valley, our battle, the day that the enemy has encompassed us is only but around the corner. And we need to remember the good days of old. Not only that, in verse 5, he says, I meditate on all thy works. Not only do we stop and pause and remember, and sometimes those precious memories flood our soul, but there's times we need to stop and be still and meditate, because the memories are fleeting. We need to consecrate on them and concentrate on them and ponder them and think on them and meditate on what is going on and how things are going. You know how Job said, though he slay me, I know my Redeemer liveth. He was meditating. You know, he said, naked I came into this world, and naked I shall return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh. He had those memories of how good God was. And then he began to meditate on those. And look what it says in verse 5. He said, and I muse on the work of thy hands. You know how he dealt with the troublesome time that he found himself in? Realizing he could not do it. The great warrior, the king that the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. He realized he couldn't do it. He was at the end of himself. He turned to God and said, I need thy righteousness. He said, verse 9, deliver me, O Lord. He said, I can't do it. Deliver me. And then he began to think on the goodness of God and remember the blessings of God and meditate upon those times that God had walked him through the valley and up the hilltop, back on the mountaintop. He began to muse, and his heart began to burn within inside of him. Begin to give him that strength. At Ziklag, another time when David was running, they went out to battle and they came back, and the city of Ziklag was up in smoke. The mighty men of valor, his closest warriors, now turned on him. And the Bible says this, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Look at verse 6. Verse 6, he said, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. You know how this was able to be? Because we have a Psalms chapter 51 where David said, create in me a clean heart after the filth and the foolishness that happened with Bathsheba. Now he's at this point and he says, listen, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Oh, dear friend. verse 7, he says, hear me speedily. Hear me speedily. This is what David did. Though the problem was real, though the overwhelming predicament that he found himself in, he turned to the Lord. He came to the end of himself. He reached out to the Lord and he said, Lord, I need thee. What was the purpose in all this? Why did he turn to the Lord? Why is there Bible scripture that says, come boldly to the throne room of God in time of need and help? You can find help in time of need. Look at verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Oh, it might be dark now, dear friend. It might be so dark you can't even see your hand in front of your face. But the morning's coming. The morning's coming. David understood something. Right now, it may not be removed right now. I might have to go through a few more steps, a few more hours, a few more days, a few more weeks. But my God shall not leave me. It shall not forsake me. And he said, Lord, teach me to do thy... cause me to hear thy loving kindness in verse 8 in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Look at verse 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me unto the land of uprightness. You know what he says? Lord, give me encouragement. Lord, not only encouragement, give me guidance. Give me direction. Teach me to walk in the path of obedience. Where'd you see that, Pastor? Well, look back in verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know thy way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Verse 10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. To do his will would be to be in obedience. Thy spirit is good. Lead me unto the land of uprightness. Give me encouragement. Let me hear thy loving kindness. That's encouragement. Teach me to walk in thy way. That's guidance and directions. If any man like wisdom, let him ask God, and he'll give it to all men that seeketh after it. God's a God of wisdom, and he likes imparting his wisdom to us. We need godly wisdom, not this earthly, sensual wisdom that we seek after. Listen, the will of God revealed in the Word of God is our rule and our compass. The will of God revealed to us in the Word of God is our rule and our compass. The will of God in the Word of God is our rule and our compass. In the darkest of the night, He is our light unto our path. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right before us, not way out there 5, 6, 7 years down the road. But sometimes, dear friend, we need light at our feet. And the Spirit of God begins to move. You know what he says there? Thy spirit is good. Psalms 143, verse 10. I am so thankful for the entire gospel. That when God saved me, that in this day we live in, the Holy Spirit of God moves in and indwells us. His Spirit is so good. When I'm overwhelmed, like it talks about in verse 7, verse 4 and verse 7 of chapter 143 of the book of Psalms, the Spirit of God prays for me. With moanings and groanings that I cannot understand, but God knows exactly what's going on. The purpose of all this is that we might find encouragement in the difficult hours ahead and the hard moments that's coming our way, and that we might find guidance through this problem and not return back and make problems worse than they were before. Look at verse 12. And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. This David's not requesting here. If you read this, this is a statement. And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies. Isn't it amazing that David asked God to have mercy when he cut off his enemies? I wonder how many times we pray, God, this person vexed me and it persecutes me. They're always hounding me. They're always mocking and they're always cruel to me. I wonder how many times we pray with mercy. Or do we pray like the sons of thunder? Can we go burn them up and make them like crispy critters? He says, in thy mercy, cut off mine enemies. We're going to pray for our enemies with mercy. The Bible says, love our enemies. Love our enemies. Listen, there was some assurance that we find here in this here verse. Let's read it again. And of thy mercy cut off thine enemies, off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. I am thy servant. God will, in mercy, because he knows that. Listen, the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. I'm telling you, those that have vexed us and oppressed us and our enemies and oppose us and what we're doing, they need God's mercy. They need God's mercy. And God, with mercy, he will dispose of them as he sees fit. And he might leave them. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. It might be that we need to be buffeted so that we'll return to prayer. We'll spend some time on our knees and spend some time with God, and we'll not think so highly of ourselves, but we'll spend more time at the feet of the cross, at the feet of Christ, and at the throne room of God. And God will deal with those that will afflict our souls. And not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. The whole basis of this here chapter, it boils down to those last four words. David understood something. I am thy servant. In other words, God, you're my master. You're my Lord. And what you allow to come into my life, my flesh may not like it. My flesh may not can handle it, but I am thy servant. And God, you know what's best. And you know what I need. David wanted help in this situation. David needed help. He was feeling overwhelmed and distraught and desolate, afflicted, perplexed, and overturned. But David wanted this problem to be a positive in his life so that God might get the glory. I wonder, dear friend, if what we're going through, can we allow God to bring it and to be a positive in our life that he gets the glory? Isn't that what God Jesus said to the disciples about the blind man? He didn't sin. His father and mother didn't sin. This is so God could get the glory. I wonder, dear friend, when you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling perplexed, and it's almost if you can't take another step, would you please take a look back at this chapter, chapter 143. Look at it, ponder it, highlight it, study it. Remember how good God is. Verse 5, meditate on how good God is. Muse in your heart how good God is. You remember last week? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to Nebuchadnezzar, we're not bowing down. Our God will deliver us. But if not, if we don't go through with this and we don't get out of it, we walk through it and it's bad from here on out. It's better to be bad in this and be a child of the King than to be full of glory and live sumptuously and fare greatly without God. You remember the story in Luke? There was a beggar man laid at the gate of the rich man. The dogs came by and licked his sores. He begged for some bread, some crumbs. He died. And the angels carried him to heaven. The rich man died, and in hell, he lifted his eyes. I'm not here to promise you that you're going to get through this with a bed of roses and everything's going to be hunky-dory. I'm not God. That's God's business. I'm here to encourage you that there is the Word of God. And if it don't get better, God's still with you. If it gets better, it's because God caused it to get better. And He's still with you. And God needs to get the glory in our life. Allow God to take these things that are in our lives, whatever they may be, and make them a positive so that this world may see our life and what we go through for the cause of Christ, and it bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Let's listen as the beautiful girlhood sings, and then I'll close with prayer. Astros, Brother Victor. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for our church family. Lord, I'm looking forward to being with them this Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, inside the church. I pray, God, those that are able and can be here will be in their place. God, those that are still not able to come because they're sick or not have the confidence yet to come, I pray, God, they'd meet with us online, Lord, through Facebook and YouTube. Again, thank you, Lord, so much for this opportunity to be here. We love you, and we thank you, Lord, for helping us to serve you. Bless our church and our church family. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with me. I hope you have a blessed time. Remember, in-service services, 11 o'clock, in-person service, 11 o'clock this Sunday. Looking forward to being with you guys that can be here. If not, meet us online, and we'll be there with you, and we'll have a good time. And again, go Astros, go Tigers. Have a blessed evening. I love y'all.